Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Get in on all the sports action and your chance to win up to 100 times your cash with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 long seasons of exile in the National League. Dedicated staff and passionate supporters celebrate the city's return to glory, the big time, all while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in that higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One's promised land? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
It's Friday. It's Rog, and I'm not going to lie, a pod still a tingle after Damari Gray's once-in-a-lifetime wonder strike. And by once-in-a-lifetime, I'm sadly not being hyperbolic. Oh, let's revel in its majesty one more time.
And here come Everton with Damari Gray.
Yes, that game has stayed with me for so many bloody reasons, many of which I wrote about in the aftermath in my personal newsletter, Courage. Subscribe now. The game and the soundtrack of Martin Tyler's accompanying orgasm. You know what? Let's hear that just one more time. What is that? Really? Jonah, in the name of silence, Tyler. Again! God bless you, Martin Tyler. God bless you, Viagra. Look, this moment has clung to me. It's lifted me. I'm still soaring, which, you know, is completely surprising to me even. Because, you know, I watch a lot of football and tend to move on emotionally very quickly. Evolution has meant we Everton fans have developed thick skins after all. And what I realise is, with the world in the state it's in right now, with the games in the Premier League beginning to be cancelled against, sorry Spurs fans, sorry Brighton fans, and even games that are being played, there are squads taking the field that have been ravaged this weekend. Leicester truly struggling, Norwich City. I am determined to treat every golden Everton moment, if there are any more, there may not be, but I'm going to treat every golden Everton moment as if that might be it, the sum total of the season's happiness, and I'm going to thrive on it accordingly. This is not about Everton. It's about your team too, your fandom. It's about football and about whatever. Right now, let's savour it all. Let's share it. Let's rewatch it. Let's laugh about it all. Let's turn small joys into massive ones. And let's do it together. Let's just hear Martin Tyler's orgasm one more time, shall we? Producer Jonah, sting me up.
Can you just lift everyone's spirits?
Oh, now I feel alive! That was Now I Feel Alive. I do, by Stephen Thorne. God bless you, Oklahoma's finest, Stevie Thorne. My version, Yeah, ever Martin Tyler O'Face. And this is WGFOP, The Bald, the show where you call in your questions to 646-450-9472 and send in your stings to meninblazers@gmail.com. And I get stuck into them, Ben Godfrey style. Yes, Arsenal fans, it was a red card. And by Ben Godfrey style, I mean with great enthusiasm and questionable legality. Leave us a message again, 646-450-9472. Let's dive on in. Question one.
Hey, Raj, this is Nick from Eagan, Minnesota, and I am a Tottenham Hotspur fan. With the COVID outbreak in Spurs, it looks like I'll have some time on my hands this weekend and maybe for the next week, so I'd like to catch up on my reading. So what are your top three favorite books that you've read this year? Courage. Bye.
Nick. Oh, hello, Minnesota, you beautiful state. Crazy days. Dark wings, dark words. Yes, COVID has returned to England big time. Football, obviously, has not been immune. And Tottenham Hotspur's squad, I'm sure you have read, has been ravaged. Their game midweek against Rennes was cancelled, and now Brighton on Sunday postponed. What fixture pileup they're going to be dealing with down the line. Leicester, as I said, also hit. Norwich waiting anxiously on test results. The darkness of an Omicron winter is descending in Great Britain. Let's savour every 90 minutes while we can. I'm so bloody thankful for sports again right now. I just filmed this week with Matthew McConaughey for a Men in Blazers show that will air this upcoming Thursday, December 16th, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on NBCSN. Matthew said to me, he said, football is the world's greatest uniter. There when we need it. Football, the greatest peacemaker. Better out of his voice, the greatest peacemaker. He says words in with just accents on syllables that make no sense if I were to do it. But out of his mouth, my God, it's like hearing the heavens themselves speak. And I love that notion, the greatest peacemaker. God, it's really dark. Yeah, not just the teams that can't play. And also, you know, Leicester, my God, playing on, being dumped out of the Europa League by Napoli. Brodge doesn't know what's hit him. Here he is when being asked about the prospect of playing in the Europa Conference League. And I love his answer. Take it away, Brodge.
The European campaigns are fairly rare in Leicester's history. Can you go on and win the Conference League? Are you aiming to do exactly that?
Well, I'm not even thinking. I've got to be honest, I don't even know what the competition is. In all fairness, I was focused on the Europa League, winning this group, at the very least finishing second. So, with all due respect to the competition, I'm not sure what it is. So, but I'm sure I'll find out soon enough.
That is Brodge letting us know that he's been kicked out of nicer places than this. This being the Europa League. And in terms of books, Nick, I'm actually in the midst of working out my best books of 2021 as we speak. I'm looking over at a huge pile. I've winnowed it down to a top 14 books that I've read this year. I'm hoping to get it down to 10. It's so bloody hard. I'm going to release the list this week. There's three that I know will be on it so far, so I'll mention them. They brought me such joy. Francis Buford's book, Light Perpetual, is a stunning human work. I actually read it around the time my own book came out, and his brilliance, my God, his human brilliance just kept me so grounded. It's very humbling reading that book. Robert C. Tala's The Field, conceptually, what a brilliant book. And not just conceptually brilliant, but the execution is exquisite. A lot of the books I've enjoyed reading are actually European. My Lord, I just adored the concept of that book. It's talking about concepts. Civilizations by Laurent Binet. Talked about him before because I adore his writing. He's mad. He's mad. I'd love to hang out with Laurent Binet, just to be candid. He's incredible. He's a playful, brilliant human being. Let me know yours, dear listeners, because my list is going to be out this week, but I'm about to go away for a couple of days over the holidays. And when I do go away, all I do is sit and read like an obsessive madman. So your recommendations could not come at a better time. Hit us over email, meninblazers@gmail.com. Hit me over Twitter @RogBennett. I would love to hear from you.
2 or 3 editions and I am giving you a
God bless you, Elvis Costello, you mighty Liverpool fan, you. Next question.
Raj, your old buddy Rob Neese from Oakville, Ontario, Canada here, staunch Manchester United supporter through thick and thin. My question for you this time is the recent appointment of Chris Armas to a staff coaching job at Manchester United after a truly disastrous spell as head coach of my beloved Toronto FC, is this the most spectacular example of failing upwards we've seen yet in the Premier League era? If not, kindly enlighten me. Oh, and one request, please do not answer in the form of an analogy about Succession, as I have not yet watched it. Courage.
Rob Neese, you beauty. God, old school GFOP, great to hear your voice. Hello, Canada. You CONCACAF powerhouse, you. No Succession, hey? Well, I mean, what are Manchester United, if not Waystar Roy Cosey? You're making this difficult for me. I have to admit, I love the Chris Armas hiring, American progress. But, you know, and again, I'm pinching myself. There's an American coach at Manchester bloody United. But I've got to be honest, I don't understand it either. You know, a coach who failed in MLS multiple times, getting promoted to work at the biggest club in the world. Brand-wise, not football-wise, brand-wise, but it doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, what's the connective tissue? The Red Bull organisation. And let's be honest, there is genuinely no way to understand the thinking of the Red Bull organisation. I remember when Tim Cahill signed for New York Red Bulls and no one could work out why a team overflowing already with attacking midfielders had gone signed another one for real money too, until the staff I spoke to back then at the Red Bulls organization realized that Red Bull, the soft drink, wanted to grow its market share in Australia, hence the move. So I think there's some of that, you know, the Red Bull old boys network, and also, you know, the Rangnick move has come so quickly. Double R has not had time to work out what staff he wanted to bring with him. And we've got to be honest, United is a King's Landing. It is a Game of Thrones style backroom political place of intrigue, in which we talked a lot about this, in which the marketing side of Manchester United has had complete domination of the place. And if you want proof of that, just look at how even that footballing little finger, Jose Mourinho, was utterly undone and threw his hands up and said, this is not a club a football person can run. It is so bloody run by the brand side. So Ralph needs men quickly around him that he can trust. Hence Armas, who might not be the greatest coach in the world, but will be utterly devoted and loyal to Ralph. You know, let's look and watch Armas learn. What an opportunity for him. And as for United, they head to Norwich to defang the mighty, unstoppable force that is Joshua Sargent. Saturday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time on NBC proper. United will take the field after a whole big boy week of being reacquainted to tactics by Ralph Rangnick. These are tactics. We use them now. And I'll expect to show that at least a loose familiarity with them against a reeling Norwich. Dean Smith has confirmed they're grappling with a COVID outbreak. You know, I'm fascinated in this next month at United to see what role young Swede Anthony Elanga has in these early weeks. Fresh legs, full minds, big hearts, or whatever Armas shouts in the locker room before his team trundle onto the field. I imagine Ralph Rangnick plays this in the locker room before the team go on. God, nothing fires up Harry Maguire more. Next question.
Hey, Rog. This is Aaron from Des Moines, Iowa, and I am a Liverpool fan. And I was calling in because you were talking about what's the point of liking sports. Is it about winning or about memories and things like that? And as a Iowa Hawkeye football fan that recently got destroyed 42-3 on the Big Ten championship game, I can tell you it's all about memories. I've been a fan with my dad, and just having all those memories with my dad has kind of made me a lifelong fan. And I know we'll never win a national championship or anything like that, but it's just, that's kind of why you root for the team. It's just those shared memories with your dad or whoever it may be. So I just wanted to call in to ask, what is your favorite memory as with your dad as a Evertonian fan? You might have told it already, but just want to hear it again. Thank you.
Hey, hello, gorgeous. You know, as a Liverpool fan, you are, let's be honest, you are on first names with winning. You are on first name terms with glory. And it's spelt O-R-I-G-I.
Salah falls in ahead. Mohamed Salah puts the ball into Origi! Salah, the brains behind the operation. Divock Origi, the Liverpool hero yet again. Super sub!
Oh, Divock, you glorious bastard. What a human being. What a story. Here's Klopp. Here's Klopp putting it all into perspective.
When you don't score, you just have to keep going. And that's what we did. And yeah, and then Divock Origi, the legend.
So I'm guessing all that winning from Liverpool probably takes the edge off the Hawkeyes' crappery. And you, Liverpool, take the field against Aston Villa in this weekend's most intriguing game, Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, USA Channel, USA Channel, USA Channel. Yes, Aston Villa of Steven Gerrard fame. Stevie G returns to Anfield. Like Kendall Roy to waste our Royco's boardroom. I kid, because Gerrard has inspired Villa to 3 wins out of 4, organising their back line, making the midfield essentially appear as if he's playing in it. It's been that sharp. And what I admire is how he has refused to be overawed by the sentimentality surrounding his grand return to a place, a ground, Anfield, that is essentially, it's essentially his childhood bedroom. I loved the sober way he's talking about it all this morning. There is no sentimentality in his mind at all.
Well, I think I've certainly stuck to that promise in terms of from a playing point of view. For me, listen, I really respect and understand all the noise around the game for obvious reasons, because I'm going back to a club that I spent many years there. So it brings a smile to my face for a couple of reasons. One, because I've got obviously a good relationship with a lot of people at the club. I had a fantastic time there, a really good journey. I'm a local boy. It was the team I supported growing up, and I always will support that team. Of course I will. But at the same time, it brings a smile to my face because I've got the opportunity to go there and compete against a good team, a good manager, with the opportunity to try and win the game. And that's my only main focus. I think the noise is for other people to get excited about. For me, it's about preparing the team in the best way I can to try and get a positive result for Aston Villa. And that's the way I will be. And everyone in that stadium will know me well enough to know what I'm about and what I'm going to Anfield for.
On the Iowa tip, oh, you'll always have Chuck Long. Look, my greatest memory of Everton Football Club, I've actually written about this story in depth in the first Men in Blazers book, Encyclopedia Blazer Tanica. The greatest day of my footballing life, April 1st, 1978. My first ever game seen in person. Everton 2, Derby County 1. I was 7. God, it was cold. The first time I saw that incredible green grass under the floodlights of Goodison Park was just an indelible image. And it was packed. And I write in the book about how I sat by a stranger who, in the freeze of Goodison, took off his own sheepskin jacket, his massive thick coat, and folded it up and put it under me to raise my eye line so I could see over the adults standing and shouting all around me. And at halftime, my first ever scotch given to me out of a flask by my dad, Judge Ivor, who thought it would be a good parenting idea to give his 7-year-old scotch to help with the cold. And he wasn't wrong. The warmth filled me with joy. and I've been a serious scotch drinker ever since that day. Thank you, Scotch. And also, the last game I went to with my dad, April 19th, 2019, Everton 4, Manchester United 0. I didn't just go with my dad. I went with all four of my kids. It was actually my daughter's Iron's first ever game. And when Everton scored their fourth...
It's as good as I've seen from Everton. It's as bad as I've seen under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer from Manchester United. Again, it's far too simple. But credit to Walcott on this occasion, because he had a lot of thinking time, and sometimes that can go against you. But this time he stayed in control, very measured, and this has now reached a level of embarrassment from the away team.
My God, my daughter thought it was like this every single game at Goodison. But my dad, he just screamed. He picked up all of my kids and flung them around. And I looked at him and took a photograph, because in that moment, it was as if my dad was a kid himself. Just such cycle of life playing out before my eyes. And his joy of sharing memories amidst, look at him, three generations of his family who are Blues. And I've got to be honest, I have looked at that photograph that I took in that moment so many times in lockdown when I felt low. It always lifts me. It's a photo of cross-generation memory making, and that's what's so bloody important. I actually said that cross-generational memory making to Mark Cuban during an interview that we taped. Was it this week? God, it's all blurry into one. The interview will run in January, and his reaction was genuinely fascinating. I've got a feeling if you're a Dallas Maverick season ticket holder, you may get that term in your season ticket renewal for next season. But suffice it to say, I was incredibly moved to go home to England last week for the first time, as you know, in 2 years. And above my dad's desk is a massive, massive blown-up copy of that very same photograph of him with Samson, Bear, Zion and Ozzy, as Theo bloody Walcott banged in that fourth goal. That is what football creates. And that, to me, is so much more priceless than winning. Let's just hear Martin Tyler's orgasm one more time, shall we? One more. Let's do it.
Hey there, Raj. I'm David. I'm a Crystal Palace fan from Abilene, Texas. And your comment about Homer being a possible name for a Brazilian soccer player made me think, who are some great English language poets whose names could also be Brazilian soccer players? Now, full disclosure, I have not looked to see who might be on the list, where the overlap might be. But I'm curious, what's your top five English language poets would be? I'll assume Philip Larkin's on the list. My own, I think, would be Alfred Lord Tennyson, Emily Dickinson. We have Christina Rossetti and Allen Ginsberg for people with some different ethnic backgrounds, despite being Brazilian. And then Christopher Marlowe. I could see all of these being legitimate Brazilian footballers. But give me your top five. I'm curious, Raj. Thanks.
Oh, David. Oh, Palace fans. It's you against me this weekend. Everton Palace, Sunday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, NBCSN. Rog versus Rebecca Lowe. And I've got a sneaking suspicion that Rebecca Storm, born of the House Buckle, first of her name, the unburnt queen of weekend mornings, and the first Robbie, Khaleesi of the great Selhurst Pot Grass, breaker of Kyles, mother of dragons, a.k.a. Teddy Buckle, is going to emerge from that derby triumphant. Yes, Palace may have lost three games on the trot, but, you know, the threes, Andros Townsend's revenge game, just doesn't sound very revengey at all, does it? My five favourite English poets who would be an incredible Brazilian football team. In goal, Philip Larkin. Hey, at the back, Wilfred Owen. Hey, and Siegfried Sassoon. Hey, those men have seen it all and will be afraid of nothing. Banging in the goals, it's got to be Emily Bronte and W.H. Jordan, who will be screaming the whole game, "We must love one another or die!" Oh, let's finish with some Larkin, reading some Larkin. We back Monday with the pod, then next Thursday, El Blaze Errico, save that date during the game. We're going to do it live! More details on that on Monday. It's going to be magnificent, but take it away, Phil, you uplifting bastard. Have a great weekend, GFOPs. Courage.
This be the verse. They fuck you up, your mum and dad. They may not mean to, but they do. They fill you with the faults they had and add some extra just for you. But they were fucked up in their turn by fools in old-style hats and coats who half the time were soppy stern and half at one another's throats. Man hands on misery to man. It deepens like a coastal shelf. Get out as early as you can. And don't have any kids yourself.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.